Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. That's what we're going to do for a few minutes. And really, that's what this service is about. So it's not going to be a full-on sermon. It's really more a reflection to get us thinking to help us then reflect, if that makes sense. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words in Psalm 107 and pray that you would use them to stir us to thanksgiving. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. But I wonder, as we were reading through that, what really spoke to you. Maybe there's one particular sort of part of it that did. Maybe there was none of it. Maybe we're just trying to work out which of the bits I'm saying and which bits the other people are saying. But it's worth going through Psalm 107 and just going through, where am I in this? Where am I? But we're here today. Christmas Day has gone. The new year beckons. And I wonder how you're feeling. Relieved? Glad? Sad, maybe? Bemused? Not quite sure where the last year has gone. Sort of almost ready for Christmas now, as we were walking over a little bit earlier. We're saying, oh, I'm ready for Christmas now. Could we have it next Tuesday? But Christmas is gone. But, actually we're still in Christmas, aren't we? We're in day six of the 12 days of Christmas. But this service is really a chance to look up, look back, and look forwards. And really the first thing I want us to encourage us to do is to look up, because I think the deep irony of this season is that we can end up looking down so much, because there's so much to do. There's the presents, there's the food, there's the gifts, there's the people, there's the family, there's the tidying up, there's preparing for next term, there's all the bugs and diseases that are going round, which seem to be particularly prevalent this year. We can spend all our time looking around, looking down, getting caught up with all that. And I just wonder how much time we spend looking up at God. And the psalm starts, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. There are not many things that are truly, truly good. Christmas food tastes good, but too much of it, not good. There are even fewer good things that last forever. Christmas comes to an end. Holidays come to an end. Each year comes to an end. Friendship, relationships sadly come to an end, brutally cut short by death. And yet God is perfectly good and his love endures forever. Forever. The Jesus Storybook Bible, which is a great little Bible, aimed at children and families, but I think anybody can have it. The Jesus Storybook Bible describes God's love as this: God's never-ending, never-giving-up, always and forever love. Isn't that lovely? God's never-ending, never-giving-up, always and forever love. And God's love pursues us. He is good. His love endures forever. And did you see in the psalm how each of those different groups experience God's love in different ways? They ended up in situations that were too big, too messy, too uncomfortable, sometimes of their own making. But what did? They cried to the Lord in their distress, and he saved them. He answered them. And Christmas declares that God is love. God is with us. He's come to be with us, to find us. He's come to die for us, to rise for us, to save us. And the resurrection of Jesus, which it's all leading up to, declares that God's love defeats sin, defeats death, and defeats judgment. So we can truly say God's love endures forever. It conquers the grave, it conquers judgment, it conquers sin. And we're gathered here this evening and we each have our own story of how God's love has intersected our lives. Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." And if we've been rescued, if we've been brought back, redeemed by the Lord through his love, we each have our own story to tell. And of course, that story will be different for each one of us, and that's wonderful. But the stories aren't always obvious, because the psalm gives five different stories of how the Lord in his love rescued, saved, delivered people. But we each have our own one, and that's part of what we're wanting to do this evening, is not just think about the big story of our lives and how we came to know the Lord, but to look back over this last year and say, where was the Lord's love in that? Where was he at work? What was he doing? Because sometimes we don't do that. Francis Thompson wrote a poem called The Hound of Heaven, and it's a poem of how God pursued him. So it's not talking about a dog, literal dog. It's describing God as the hound of heaven who was pursuing him. The poem starts like this. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears I hid from him. And under running laughter, up vistaed hopes I sped. And goes on and so on. But it finishes like this. Halt by me that footfall. Is my gloom, after all, shade of his hand outstretched caressingly? Ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. God pursued him, and he kept running away and running away and running away and running away. And in the end, he looks up and realizes that it's God he needs. Now, C.S. Lewis describes his conversion like this. You must picture me alone in that room at Magdalen, night after night, feeling, whenever my mind lifted even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him who I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God, and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. I love that. It's in his book called Surprised by Joy. But those are two stories. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So, of course, there is our conversion story, how the Lord pursued us in his love and how we came to know that love for ourselves. But there is more than that, which I've mentioned, because the Lord's love intersects our lives at every point. And I just want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. If you've got a Bible, you're very welcome to turn there. Page 1159, if you're following it. Paul writes this, because I don't know I know what some of your years have been like, but imagine our years have been a real mixture of joys and sorrows. Sometimes it's just normal stuff. But Paul in 2 Corinthians writes this, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And I love end of verse 9. That we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Not raised, past tense. Not will raise, future tense. But raises, present tense. We have a God who delivers, who rescues, who saves, who can get us out of the pickles that we get ourselves into. One of my Christmas presents this year was a canvas that says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And it's a good question. because I think I sometimes think things are too hard for the Lord. And it's just a reminder, nothing is too hard for the Lord. We have a God, when we cry out to him in our trouble, he will save us. He might deliver us through it. We might have to go through it, but he will be with us in it. As in that psalm, some were in desert wastelands. They cried out to him. Maybe that's what it feels like your year has been, a desert wasteland. Some were in darkness and in prison in the psalm because of their own rebellion against God. Maybe that's how it feels. We've been in darkness, in prison this year. But they cried out to him. Some in the psalm were feeling afflicted. Maybe that's us this year. But they cried out to him. Some in the psalm were facing disaster at the hands of this creation. They cried out to the Lord. Some were just needing refreshment and sustenance. What did they do? They cried out to the Lord and he provided. And so sometimes, you know, what we've been through is a mess of our own making and we end up under the Lord's good discipline and we have to cry out and turn to him and receive his love again. Sometimes the situation is because of things in this world. The storms of the sea or the storms of life. Disaster, death, disease, forces of nature. But either way, we can cry out to the Lord and he will work. So the psalm finishes, "Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord."